Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to add to that the greeters meet in the office at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we pray together and we encourage each other. So if you are kind of praying about just joining something and being part of something, Greeters Ministry is a beautiful ministry, welcoming people as they come into the house of God. And I want to also mention that I had a thought and it just left my mind. Don't you just hate when that happens? But yes, the Greeters Ministry is a good place for you to be. I also want to mention that we're going to be doing membership interviews in a couple of weeks. If you've been visiting our church for some time, not attending for some time, you're not visiting anymore. Now you're a church attendee. This is where you come and you worship. And you feel led from the Lord to transition from church attendee to church membership. After the service, just see any of our pastors or stop by the secretary's office or see Sister Marilyn. Marilyn is right there in case anybody who doesn't know her, she's the church secretary. And you can stop by her, pick up an application, and she can tell you a little bit about the process for church membership. And just adding on to Brother Sean and the missions trip, it was really nice. And I want to let you know that the church over there, La Lomita, Elohim, is doing really well. I've talked to Pastor Narciso a couple of times this week. They're really encouraged and excited about what God is doing in that community. So whenever you go on vacation to DR, I'm going to encourage you to carve out one day and drive out to La Lomita in the area, the town of Moca, Puerto Rico, DR. And I promise you that you will you'll be really blessed there, and you'll be a blessing to them as well. So I just want to encourage you and invite you to stand as we get ready to enter to the teaching this morning. We promise to be wise with regard to time. Once again, just so thankful for last night. The men's ministry was really impactful, really nice. We had a great group of men. Some of our men missed it, though. I hope that next year you won't miss it because it was really beautiful. We had two powerful, powerful sessions that were really life-changing. So we congratulate George and Renee and the team. Just awesome. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're just going to focus on one verse today. One verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Our theme today is empowered for victory, empowered for victory. As you open up your Bibles or tap on your apps looking for the scripture, I just want to inform the church that 2 weeks from today is November the 4th, and we're going to be celebrating an anniversary service in our church, 65 years of ministry. We don't celebrate yearly our anniversary, but every 5 years we want to dedicate time. 60 years, we did something really big for our 65th. We're just going to dedicate one Sunday, and it's going to be one united service at 11 a.m. And our church leaders, our pastors, and our church board, we decided to do one service. Being that it's an anniversary service, we want to just really celebrate all of us together. So we know it's going to be a special day. We have an invited speaker that is part of the history of our church. Our pastor, Del Valle, who's our pastor for 18 years, he's going to be here with us on that day as well. And we have other guests that are going to come and share with us on the day. So I just want to encourage you to mark your calendars. That's not next Sunday. Next Sunday is regular Sunday. The Sunday after that is November the 4th, and we'll have one united service that day. Empowered for victory, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we thank you for your word, for it tells us when we're not right. It tells us how to get right. It tells us how to stay right. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, that your word would minister to our hearts today and it would lead us to all truth. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and draw us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning, empowered for victory. So here we read this scripture. Many of us have been reading it for many years. There's even songs with regard to this scripture and songs just dedicated to this scripture. And it's an encouraging scripture for us. It's a reminder to us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Your version may say a cowardly spirit. But God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and the sound mind or self-discipline, your version may say. And here, the Apostle Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, who is a young pastor, and he writes to him to encourage him. Timothy was probably in a low time in his ministerial life, and we can see that in the book of 2 Timothy, and we see that perhaps it's because of persecution that the church was dealing with and the leadership of the church was dealing with at that time. They were being confronted with continually false teachings, different than what Jesus and the apostles had left behind for them. Maybe this young pastor, Timothy, he was just battling with the pressures of ministry. But we know that Paul writes this book to encourage Timothy. In fact, in the second chapter, he opens up with the words, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," encouraging him. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Just a few verses later, and we also see that the verse before, he reminds him to fan into flame the gift of God that is within him. So he's really trying his best here, Paul, to encourage Timothy and empower him for victory and to let him know, hey man, there's something in you that is enough to get you through the process. There's something in you that's enough to get you through the hardship. And we see that God reminds him of this and tells him, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you a cowardly spirit. But what he has given you brings with it power, brings with it love, and brings with it a sound mind. Each of us go through hardships. Each of us go through difficult times. Each of us go through times of discouragement, things that are not going our way, where we are confronted with the unknown, things that we didn't expect, and it brings fear, and it brings discouragement, and it brings doubt in our lives. There are times when we feel that we just cannot. I just can't get through it. I just don't have enough. And we feel a sense of even surrendering and giving up and throwing in the towels because there's a sense that we're not strong enough to get through it. Even temptation will come to our lives and we feel like, you know, just surrendering. It's just so easy to surrender to temptation. It's just so easy to just give up. And there is a battle within us. And we understand that this is a struggle. And sometimes we feel that the struggle is too much when we're confronted with the unknown, things that we could not prepare for. How do we act? How do we live? How do we respond? How do we handle these things? I want to remind you today that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And them, what God has entrusted to us, is enough for a victorious life in Christ. It's enough. It's enough to get us through it. It's enough to give us the success that we need as children of the Lord. And I love that when the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy, he speaks to him in a plural form. And he says, God has not given us. In other words, he's saying, the spirit that I have, the same spirit that you have. And I share with you today the same spirit that the Apostle Paul had and the same spirit that Timothy has is the same spirit that you and I have today. And I love that the Apostle Paul writes and says, God has not given us. In other words, this is not something that is innate within us. We haven't always had this spirit. It came to us at a particular time And I would suggest to you today that scripture teaches that it came to us in our conversion time. It came to us in the time when we said, I surrender all and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And it was at that moment where what we did not have has now been given to us. And it is the very Holy Spirit of God. It's the pneuma of God. It's the breath of God. And God has sealed us and has filled us with His presence, with His Spirit. And His Spirit does not come with a spirit of fear, but what it does come with is power and love and a sound mind. So it's not innate within us. It's not something that you were born with, and it's not something that someone that doesn't have Christ has. No, this is only for those who have had a true conversion experience. They have the very Holy Spirit of God that does not come with fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I love the word give there. So I was doing a word study on the word give, and it has to do with furnishing is the word there. It has to do with nourishing, but I love the word there, furnishing. In other words, it gives you enough to fill the gaps. There's not an emptiness in you, but you've been furnished with exactly what you need so that you can have a victorious Christian life, right? I love that. And the word fear there is the word used for cowardly, is the word used for those who are falling back or shrinking back is the word. Those who are not up to the fight is the term there. So he's saying, I haven't furnished you with doubt or fear or cowardly spirit. No, I've furnished you with power and love and a sound mind. When the scripture teaches us this, we are reminded that the scripture teaches us this. So we are empowered for a victorious life. In this life, we will deal with spiritual battles. We will. We'll deal with hardships, and we'll deal with our own inner weaknesses and our own inner securities, and we'll deal with things that want to push us and make us want to shrink back and surrender and give up. And unfortunately, sometimes in our lives, we've made those bad choices. But God is reminding us today that what's in us is enough for an empowered, victorious life. Powered for victory. Our conversion experience has given us this, that if anything, you would leave here today knowing that there is enough within you to allow you to enjoy a victorious life in Christ. And some would ask, well, what is a victorious life in Christ? It would be to live a life that gives glory to the Father. Yeah. And I think it's important that we understand, because sometimes our mindset and our culture teaches us that a victorious Christian life is earthly success. And it even teaches us that it's ministerial success. It is not earthly success, and it is not ministerial success. But a victorious Christian life is that you and I can represent Christ well, and that we give glory to the Father. Regardless of our individual gifts, and regardless of our status in society, and regardless of our culture or the language that we speak or the color of our skin, regardless of those things, but that our life would give glory to the Father, that is a victorious Christian life. And our battle on earth is none other than to destroy that work in our lives, that we would give glory to the Father. It is to destroy that work. Every battle that you have in your life, every battle, whether it be your home, whether it be with your matrimony, whether it be with your children, whether it be with your finances, whether it be with your own sinful nature, whether it be with relationships, all of it is to destroy the image of Christ in your life so that you would not look like Jesus and give glory to the Father. But understanding our battles and our weaknesses, God puts within us His Spirit. And His Spirit is enough to help us to live in His image, so that in His image we can give glory to the Father. So I just want to encourage you today. Maybe you're battling some things in your life and you feel like, I haven't had success, so I'm not having success as a believer. I want to tell you that there is enough within you that can give you victory in this lifetime that we live. So just kind of looking at our scripture today, and as time allows, let us look at the scripture and share the three observations that if you've heard me preach, you probably know where I'm going with here today. These three powerful words that I think if we embrace them, they will change our lives. And the first word, of course, is power. And our first point is Jesus makes us strong. Jesus makes us strong. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Jesus makes us strong from the time of conversion. The Holy Spirit of God that's within us makes us strong. That word there, power, is dunamis. We've heard that word before. It's strength and power. It's ability. It's actual something that God gives us that we can obtain, that we can do, right? Power for miracles. It's used there, but it's also used for moral power. Power of excellence of soul. In other words, it's strength to do what has been entrusted to you. It's strength to do it. It's strength to do what has been entrusted to you. It's the ability to handle the things that are before you that at times you thought you couldn't, but you could because you have dunamis now. It's not something that's innate within you, but it came to you at conversion. It is power from God. That's why you're able to forgive someone that has betrayed you. Strength that you never thought that you would be able to do. I never thought I'd be able to forgive somebody for the hurt and pain that they did to me or my home or my family. But why were you able to do it? Because there's dunamis power within you. Jesus makes us strong. You know, it's power that helps us live the life that God has called us to live. And Jesus knew that the disciples needed this power. And he tells them in Luke, he tells them, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So he knew that they could not physically do what was entrusted to them until they had the power, the Holy Spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God over their lives. And that pneuma, that breath, that power, you and I also have it today. You see, we cannot do what God has entrusted us to do without the dunamis, the power. Jesus makes us strong. It's the same power that Jesus used when the woman of the issue of blood touched his garment, the hem of his garment. The Bible says that power came from him. And it's the same word there. It's power to do the things that God has entrusted us to do. It is power. It's the same word that is used with regard to Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. It's the word that God empowers us to help us. And I love that this power enables us physically to do the things that are before us. I want to remind you today that God has positioned each and every one of us for victory. We are positioned, we are placed in our place, whether it be your home, your job, your setting, your culture, you're placed in a place for victory, and he has empowered us for it. He has given you the ability that you need to do it. Oh, when you see someone who has gone through so much in their lives, and they're still standing, why? Dunamis, power, strength that only God can give them, right? When we hear of people that have forgiven great betrayal in their lives and we think, oh my God, I don't think I could ever forgive like that. It's because that person has received dunamis, power, to do what others could not do. But God put it in them, and for that reason, they were able to forgive. When we see single parents, single moms, single dads, parent their children as a mother and a father, and we think, man, it's hard for me to do it with my spouse. How is it that they can do it? It's because dunamis, strength, ability that God gives them to do all that has been entrusted to them, right? We see when people are battling with sicknesses and yet they're not downcasted. It's power, it's strength, and ability that allows them to do it. When we see battles of temptation that years ago we would give in to those battles, we would give in to those vices, we would give in to those addictions, we would give in to those things that had us bound. And why don't they have us bound anymore? It's not because you're so disciplined. No, it is because you have received a power from on high that gives you the strength and the ability not to surrender yourself to the things that your carnal nature, one time without the Holy Spirit, would surrender themselves to. You were a slave to those things, but now, because Christ lives in you, you have become a slave to Him. This is the strength and the power of God. And we are empowered for victory. We're empowered for victory. Why? Because we have received Christ as our personal Savior, and He has placed His Spirit within us that gives us power. So we can fulfill this call knowing that each and every one of us have been empowered for victory. No one has to shrink back, and no one has to give up. Maybe there's some things before you that physically, they're hard. I want to remind you today that you can. Greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. You can. And the church says, amen. Empowered for victory. First one is Jesus makes us strong. The second one is Jesus makes us sensitive to His will. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Love is a great word here. We know it as the Greek word agapeo, love, right? Which is a love of affection, of goodwill. It's a love of benevolence. It's important to know that. It's a brotherly love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love of benevolence. It's to give. It's to consider others first. We understand that it's through this love that we can discern God's will in our lives. You know, someone would say, well, how do I know God's will? It's usually the most sacrificial way. It's usually the way that I have to surrender the most or give the most. That's usually God's perfect will, right? It's through His love that we can discern His will. Very important that we understand that. It means actively doing what the Lord prefers. It's by His power and His direction that we understand His love. Because love is the essence of who God is. Scripture says God is love. See, love is the virtue that leads us into God's will. Love is the virtue that will lead us into His will. We can never enjoy God's will through hatred. Amen. We can never enjoy God's will through envy. We can never enjoy God's will through malice or through lying or through bitterness or through hypocrisy or through manipulation. We can never enjoy God's will that way. We can never enjoy God's will through anything that is controlled by the sinful nature. See, the Lord shows us His will through love. And when we function through love, we are actively doing what God prefers. Empowered for victory. If we want to enjoy a victorious Christian life, we must look through the lens. We must look at life through the lens of love, through the lens of benevolence, through the lens of sacrificing for others and giving for others. It's the same word here. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for a friend. God's will, right? It's sacrificial. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor another above yourself. See, if we want to really enjoy the victorious Christian life, we must look at life through the lens of love. The great words of the Apostle Paul. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. God is calling us, as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything that you do, it must be motivated by love. Today I want to remind you, we have been empowered for victory. Jesus makes us sensitive to His will. God's Spirit within us gives us what we need to be victorious. Victorious always means that we give glory to the Father. Victory always means that we give glory to the Father. How would we give glory to the Father? Through look at life through the lens of love. And that's why we don't pay evil with evil. But through the lens of love, we choose to forgive. And we choose to reconcile. Through the reconciliation, God is glorified and we are victorious. If we understand that, it changes our way of thinking. It changes the way we live a Christian life. See, that's why we don't attack people in their time of weakness or in their time of failure. But we choose to restore them and encourage them. We look at the circumstance through the lens of love. And God receives the glory and then we are victorious. Today and age, we want to attack people in their time of weaknesses. We want to isolate people in their times of weaknesses. And we think ourselves is better when we do those things. But when we look through the lens of love, we create an opportunity for reconciliation. And reconciliation brings glory to the Father and gives us the victory at that time. That's why when we look at others that may not be as fortunate as us according to earthly standards, we don't think that we're better. We look at them through the lens of love and how we can be a blessing to them, right? That's why Jesus left the side of his Father and became flesh for you and for me. Why? Because he looked at us through the lens of love. He didn't say they're already condemned. They're already condemned for hell. They've already been marred by sin. There's no hope for them. No, he didn't say that, but he looked at us through the lens of love. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see the illustration there and what has been entrusted to us? That as God looked at us through a lens of love by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, he has now put his spirit of love in us, that we would also look at humanity through the lens of love, seeking reconciliation and forgiveness, seeking to restore and renew, not looking to destroy or discourage or isolate or abandon, but looking for every opportunity to do for others as Christ has done for us. And then we give glory to the Father and enjoy a victorious life. And the church says, so when we think about empowered for victory, we remember that Jesus makes us strong, that Jesus makes us sensitive to the will of God. And our last point this morning is that Jesus makes us wise. I love it. I love that it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The word self-control here, or self-discipline, or a sound mind, this word means behavior that fits the situation. Behavior that fits the circumstance is living out God's will by doing what he calls us to do with sound reasoning. Sound reasoning. Living as God defines true balance. Because sometimes we're like living in this super faith. Have you ever met anybody who's like living in super faith? Now, I'm a person of faith. I believe in faith. I believe that there's times when you just really got to step out and trust God. Right? But there's times when God has given us, not times, when God has given us a spirit of what? A sound mind. That means count the cost. Look at things before you. You know, there's some people in the midst of the storm, they're like just, they want to get out the boat and they want to walk like Peter did on water. I mean, they're like, I'm trusting God for this, right? And then they start to drown. And they're like, help me, Jesus. And Jesus says, I didn't tell you to get out the boat. I was going to help you navigate through the storm. I was going to give you the wisdom that you need for the circumstance. That was for Peter. That's not for you. right? And we want to live this super faith. Again, man, I believe in faith and trusting God. But we need to know that God is calling us to trust Him in that circumstance and believe at times that He's leading us through our circumstances, right? He has given us a sound mind to count the cost and look before us and understand that He will help us make good decisions. See, Jesus makes us wise. Before you decide to buy that item, count the cost. How much do you have? Is it enough? Can I do it? Can I not do it? Before I make that decision, I must ask the question, is it worth it? Should I? Before I react to this emotion that has me drawn to act, I must ask myself, is this going to get me the best results? I must function through what the Apostle Paul calls spiritual wisdom. To understand that God has put in us everything that we need for a victorious life. He has given us strength, the ability, physical strength to do some things that we never thought that we could do. He's given us the lens of love in which we can discern His perfect will. And then He's given us wisdom to count the cost. To look at it and say, is this the best thing for me? And I can give you so many scriptures that will help confirm this. Just a few for you today. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Right? James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. We see a lot of characteristics, virtues, attributes that we have to deal with every single day. And how do we handle all those emotions and all those decisions? How do we handle all these circumstances? Yes, there's times when the Holy Spirit will move in our heart for a leap of faith, but most of our decisions are based on wisdom. Yes. Count the cost. Keep things in balance. See what tips the scale and what doesn't tip the scale. My list of priorities, my list of do's and my list of don'ts. Count the cost. And if we do, we will have a victorious life. Our lives will give God the glory. It's when we don't act wisely that we find ourselves in regret, in bitterness, in envy. When we don't act wisely, we find ourselves walking backwards and saying, I messed up. When we don't act wisely, we find ourselves in a place of hardship where we acted in a way where we thought would be best for us, and we did not give the Father the glory, but we responded in our own nature. I want to remind you here today as I close our sermon this morning, we've been empowered for victory. We have been positioned in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our jobs, in our churches. We have been positioned for victory. And there is something that God has put in us that is enabling that. His very Holy Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind is what the verse means there. So I want to remind you here today, Jesus, He makes you strong. You can. You can do it. You can do all that is right, all that is righteous, and all that is just. You can do it. Because there is a strength within you that allows you to do it. You can live in God's perfect will for your life because you will look at it through the lens of love. Because God has put in you a spirit of love that thinks benevolence, that thinks the other, that thinks, how can I live a life that brings glory to the Father? And at the end of it, you will feel so happy with what you have done and how you have lived because the Father has received the glory. God has given you a sound mind. Count the cost. Be careful not to respond in our emotions or in our weaknesses or in our weak tendencies. No, be careful. For when we do those things, we find ourselves in isolated, dark places. But if we sit back and say, will this bring glory to God? Let me count the cost. Put it in balance. Think how I'm going to respond or act or handle this circumstance. At the end of it all, we will see that we have been empowered for victory. God will give us what we need to make the absolute right decision. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand this morning. God has not given us a cowardly spirit. You don't have to shrink back. You don't have to cower away. You don't have to run from the call. You don't have to run from the call on your life. You don't have to run from what God has ordained for your life. You don't have to run from the things that God has entrusted to you. You don't have to accept failure. No, because you weren't born with it. But the day you gave your heart to Christ, He put in you His Spirit. And His Spirit is enough to give you the strength to make every right decision. The strength, the physical strength. It's a supernatural power within the natural that gives us the strength to do the will of the supernatural in our lives. Gives us the strength. He's given you the perspective in how to make decisions, love. It's only love that will keep us sensitive to God's will in our lives. If we could just look at circumstances through the lens of love. And then He's given us a sound mind, wisdom. Stop, think, weigh the cost, reflect on your emotion, think clearly. I love that the Bible says, he who lacks wisdom, ask it of God, who gives generously to all who ask. It's part of my morning prayers. God, give me wisdom to be a good husband, a good father, a good pastor, a good friend, a good partner, a good boss. Give me the wisdom to be good at these things, God. For if you don't, I will fail at them. And He's put it within us. So don't shrink back from the things that you have deep in your heart. Don't run from them. Embrace them. Be obedient to the things that God has put before you. Be obedient to the things that God has entrusted with you. Be obedient to the things that God has commanded of you. Oh, He has empowered you to do it. Embrace the relationships that God has put in your life. Love your family and bless them. Love your church. Bless your church. For you have been empowered for victory. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your teaching this morning. It's all that we have in life. It is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. It tells us what's right and it tells us what's wrong. It tells us how to get right and it tells us how to stay right. I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us, or that this word would remind us, oh God, once again, how we don't have to fail. You haven't positioned us to fail, but you've positioned us and empowered us for victory. So, Father, I pray that we would leave this place this morning encouraged to say, I can. With God, I can. I can be exactly who God has called me to be. I can be the father He's called me to be. I can be the mother He's called me to be. I can be the wife that He's called me to be. The husband He's called me to be. The minister He's called me to be. The Christian He's called me to be. Because He's given us everything we need for victory. Father, we ask, Lord, that we would embrace the teaching with humility, understanding that this is strictly grace and nothing we deserve. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. If you have backslidden Oh, I have good news for you. Today is the day of reconciliation. Today is the day that he says, oh, come into my arms. I've been waiting for you, and I'm going to put in you my power. I'm going to put into you my love. I'm going to put in you my wisdom, and you are going to be able to live the life that I have purposed for you. I promise you that your future days will be better than your past days. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Don't leave the way you came. Be at peace with God, peace with yourself, and at peace with others. If you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you in a mighty way, and you say, I need prayer for application. I want to apply this word to my life. As we sing this next song, the altar is also open for you. I invite you to come to the altar. We want to pray with you together today. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.